Okay, hey, turn to your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. That's where we're going to teach from tonight. And I am so happy to be here in the house of God. I feel very blessed to have the opportunity to stand here tonight. Deuteronomy 8. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight as humbly as we know how, dear Lord. Lord, we know that you require us to be humble, dear Lord. Lord, you require us to be humble so that we can hear you, dear Lord, and so that we can be used by you. Lord, we praise you and we love you. Lord, we pray for those who can't be here, Lord. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of challenges in our lives, in our church, in our homes. Please, dear Lord, help those that are reaching for you, dear Lord God, and can't tell that you're there. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for everything. In Christ's name, amen. So, hey, I don't know about you guys. Is anybody feeding hummingbirds right now? Okay. I don't know if you're experiencing what I'm experiencing. So Jennifer and I went to, I don't know if it was Lowe's or Home Depot. I've dumped that from my memory. But we bought this hummingbird feeder. And it's a nice one, okay? We paid up. I think we paid $5 extra or something to get the nice one, not get the plastic one. I don't know. Maybe $7. Probably really went all out. But this thing is it's a blue translucent glass, and it's got a metal base, and it has three or four flowers that they drink from. Okay, and it started out we had two hummingbirds kind of feeding off of this thing, and they're pretty active. And next thing I know, we get up to four, and you can kind of tell because it's Jennifer describes it as Top Gun every day outside our window. Y'all know what Top Gun is? It's the fighter jet movie from the 80s. And they're dive bombing each other, right? And they're fighting over this hummingbird, this nectar that's in this feeder. And if you watch them, they'll get face to face, and they'll go, "I'm higher than you." Yeah. "Nope, I'm higher than you." "Nope, I'm higher than you." "Nope, I'm higher than you." And then they'll crash and they'll go fly off and they'll do their thing. And I was watching these guys, and I watch them every day fight. And I just wonder if they really knew that I put that there. We put that there for our good pleasure. We put that there to supply them nectar. There are three or four flowers there. There are three or four birds interested in our feeder. They're fighting over who's higher and who's going to win, and they could just all go drink at the same time. And they don't know, but I got a few more $5 bills, and if the nectar runs out, I'll fill it back up. So they actually have an endless supply of nectar that they're fighting over. And they each have a spot at the spigot. And yet they want to fight for the spot that's already theirs. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like anybody else that we might have met in our lives or maybe saw in the mirror at some point? We spend so much of our time fighting because we just don't know that God has a spot for us that has endless supply. And He put it there for His good pleasure because He loves us. He cares about us. We don't have to compete for what's ours. So I watch those hummingbirds and I think, it's just so goofy. And I wonder if God looks at us sometimes and just thinks, why do you toil? Why do you carry such a burden? Why do you act that way? You didn't have to attack that person. They can't take anything from you. You don't have to be jealous. I don't know. Those hummingbirds are telling me a lot. And, oh, by the way, Yellow Jackets are getting involved. Yes. Y'all got that too? Yeah. Yes. But you would think if you got an intruder, I didn't put it out there for the Yellow Jackets. I don't care if they eat or not. They are not for my good pleasure. Right. But you would think the hummingbirds would gang up on the Yellow Jackets and get this thing over with and enjoy their feeder. But no, they want to fight with everybody. Okay, so in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm looking at obedience. You know, and the thought is that we can do anything that is within God's power, we actually take on His ability when we're obedient. When we're obedient to God, it gives Him the opportunity to apply His power to our lives. When we're disobedient, He can't bless us with that power. But when we're obedient and we're following His guidelines and we're following His rules, then He has the opportunity to bless us. We have His full supply when we're obedient to Him. A supply that never runs out. We have access to His peace when we're obedient to Him. He can bless us. He can bless us with quietness when we're obedient. That never runs out. In order to be obedient, though, we have to trust. We have to trust the Lord. And we have to trust that we need His guidance. So in Deuteronomy 8, let's just start into a verse-by-verse study here. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto you, your fathers. So these children of Israel had a land promised to them. And God is saying here, I've given you commandments that I've commanded that you should observe, that you may live and multiply and possess the thing that's already yours. God is saying, do what I say and I can give you what I promised. Do what I say and I can give you what I promised. In other words, I can't bless you the way I want to if you choose disobedience. But if you choose obedience and you do what I say, then there's a gift waiting for you. In verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. You know, a lot of times we talk about proving God. You know, in the story of David and Goliath, David goes and takes Saul's armor and then he decides not to wear it because it was not proven. We talk about proving God in certain situations. Well, God is already proven. When we're talking about proving God in a situation, really what we're doing is proving ourselves. We're proving that we can trust God. So let me give you an example. If I were to try a hard math problem, you know, some of those math problems are very long. I remember back in school, I don't have a clue if I could do it today. I'm pretty sure I couldn't because I was struggling with Riley's sixth grade math homework the other night. But I used to fill out math equations that would take up an entire page, and it would just be following this logic, and eventually you'd get to the end and there'd be an answer. And occasionally it'd be the right answer. But whether I was right or wrong, you know, it's kind of like doing a proof. You're doing a proof and working through this math problem. But whether I was right or wrong didn't make the logic of the math any less true. So how are you going to prove God when God is already true? We're not proving. I was never proving a math problem. I was always just proving to the teacher that I could get through a math problem. And I was proving myself that I had the ability to get through it. But going through this life, we talk about we're proving God through this life. No, he's already sure. That's already in place. All we can do is prove that we can be obedient to God so that He can manifest His truth in our life. So if we miss God in a situation, that doesn't make Him untrue. It just means we have more to learn. In verse 2, it stated that God led the children of Israel for 40 years. I've studied this a little bit, and this 40-year trip that they took was a six-week geographical path. They could have made that 40-year trip in 6 weeks. Why didn't they? Why didn't they make it in 6 weeks? Was the 40 years wasted time or the 39 years and whatever that is, weeks, 40-something weeks? You ever feel like you're kind of meandering around and wasting your time? And maybe there's a destination out there that you know you're supposed to get to, but it's taking you longer to get there than it should? I'm sure the children of Israel felt the same way. And they were blind to the path, the thing that was right there in front of them. And I would argue that you're not wasting your time, and the children of Israel were not wasting their time. And I'll prove that to you here in just a minute. I would say, why does God send us along these long paths? In verse 2 it says, He does it to humble you and to prove you. He's proven you to Him. He's not proven you to Him or Him to you. He's proven you to yourself to prove what's in your heart so you know what you're capable of. The strongest and most capable people aren't those that have the great gifts and strengths. They are those who aren't blind to their weakness so that God can come in and be the strength for them. You know, you guys, we've talked about blind spots before. You know, when you maneuver in traffic, a lot of times you're worried about this spot right here where you can't see quite through your mirrors, and there's always a place where a car could be that you won't see. So you turn and make sure that blind spot's covered. Well, in our lives, in our personalities, we all have blind spots. And the thing about your blind spots, you can't see them. That's why they call them blind spots. You think you know your blind spots, but you probably don't because they're blind spots. But you know who does know your blind spots? God knows your blind spots. And quite frankly, almost everybody else in here knows your blind spots too. They can see the things about you that you can't see. So how do you get to learn your blind spots? Well, you can ask somebody if you think you can take it. Yeah, be careful with that. But you could if you wanted to improve and get some of that out of your way. God can increase our obedience by showing us that we'll fail under our own power. So a lot of times our blind spots are revealed because we take the controls and we get ourselves in a mess. And we figure out that, wait a minute, I should have took my hands off of that. And then we finally let God have it, and God does something we could have never imagined. So no doubt God walks us down paths. Hang on, I kind of like this one. God walks us down paths, and at the end of that path oftentimes is a mirror, so that we can see clearly who we are, allowing us to appreciate who He is. You see, God doesn't change. God doesn't change. But it seems like God has changed in my life over the years. But it wasn't Him that changed, it was the way I saw Him. See, God is true. He's just like that math. He's like that logic the rules stay the same. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. That's what He says. That's what He said. So if God is getting bigger in your life, He was always big. If God is getting to be where He's providing your every need, He was always there to do that. If it's getting to where you can trust God more, well, He was always trustworthy. But you're changing. You're changing so that you can see God more clearly. And there's only one way to do that. It's to be obedient and to be humble and to work on ourselves. We all see through the lens of our own experiences. And I know without a doubt that I've been in spots so that God could show me myself, so that later I could operate in obedience and not trust myself. See, if God has something for you to do, then He may need to show you some things about yourself so that when you get to that larger purpose, you won't put your hands all over it. You'll take your hands off and you'll let God lead it. There is peace in trusting that He's in control. If you trust He's leading, you'll always suppress your natural desire to take over. And I guarantee you, because I've done it, if you take the reins, if you take control, you'll run it right off a cliff. because you can't see down the road where God can see. So let's look at verse 3. Now we're getting somewhere. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. So he put them out in the wilderness and he humbled them and showed them that they couldn't supply their own food. This is a desert now. And he gave them manna to eat, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. So they went through this and they had food. Their clothes didn't wear out and their feet didn't swell on the hot desert sand. So God shows that though you should have died in a situation, you didn't. God allowed hunger so he could feed them. There was no supply of clothing, so God could show them that he could make their clothing last and he could supply clothes. And I got to tell you, God does that in our lives. But God took them through this. He defied the physiology of it, not letting their feet swell. And he showed them that he could and can be trusted and that they were not strong enough. So consider Noah's ark. It had no rudder and no compass. If it had, Noah probably would have tried to guide it and might have crashed it. So if you want to make it safely to shore, stop fighting for the controls and let God guide you. As long as you fight and think you can, you'll wander in the wilderness and not reach your destination because there is more for you to learn. So let's go through some more verses here and then we'll get to the main point. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. This is verse 7. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. You can have those, by the way. A land of olive oil and honey. I'll take the honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. If they went straight into the promised land, it would have been hard for them to bless the Lord. Right. Living 40 years hand to mouth and in complete reliance on the Lord, when things are plentiful, you don't forget that. You don't forget that experience. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built godly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So he's saying here, when you get to the land of fatness, don't forget God. So here's the point. It took 40-year journey to prevent them from destroying themselves with pride when they reached the promised land. It took the 40 years of humility and the humbling process so that when things finally became great in the promised land, they wouldn't destroy themselves. So it wasn't about God not willing to make that supply. It's about us not being able to take the supply. Sometimes God has to take us through a process just so that his blessings won't kill us, won't destroy us. How many people have been blessed with a lottery winning and end up destroying their home, their house, their family, everything about them because they weren't prepared? They didn't have any training around it. They didn't have the emotional maturity. They didn't have the maturity as a person. They didn't have the structure built around them, and they end up destroying themselves. How many of these athletes do that, that come up through without a lot of training and get very rich very quickly and get in a mess? How many of these singers and stars do we see self-destruct because the foundation's not there and the path wasn't right? God has blessings for us. God has the nectar of life positioned for us to go take part in. But He has to make sure that it doesn't kill us. So sometimes He takes us to a path, through a path to protect us. And I'm not talking about money, y'all. I mean, money, okay, whatever, right? I'm talking about the blessings of life, the stuff that really matters. Had they gotten there in 6 weeks, they'd have been too weak to handle the spoil. So, my final thought is, then I'll close. You'll always be tempted to run your own life. Don't do it. You're the safest you'll ever be when you're in God's hands. You'll never take care of yourself better than God can take care of you. You'll never have the idea that on your own that God can plan in you. You'll never get the favor with other people that you could earn on your own unless God give it to you. I've seen people that didn't care for me turn out to be supporters and champions for me. And I can't explain it. God can do things that you can't do. You can't win people over. You can't make the right calls. You can't see the future, but God can. We've got a big God, and He cares so much, and He's watching. He's watching how we're doing. He's watching our behavior. He's watching our obedience. And all He wants is to provide for us and to give us love. Everything God does is meant to help us. Even if He has to hurt us to help us. Even if we have to be in the wilderness for a little while, or we have to struggle for a little while, it's all meant to help us. Satan only wants to destroy us. Even if he has to help us to destroy us. Even if he has to give us all the things of the world so that we destroy ourselves and destroy our family. Obedience to God is the only answer in this life. It's the only hope we have. Thank you for your attention.